You're listening to The Daily on Monocle 24 with me, Andrew Muller. It was Oscar Wilde who asserted that only the shallow do not judge by appearances, an attempt perhaps to excuse something we do all the time, whether we enjoy admitting that to ourselves or not. Most of us do probably have some idea that it's the wrong thing to do, so why do we do it? I'm joined now by Alex Todorov from the Department of Psychology at Princeton and author of the new book Face Value, The Irresistible Influence of First Impressions. And Alex, I'm sitting here now absolutely terrified about the first impression I might have made in the last few seconds.
Well, it shouldn't be. I'm highly mistrustful of this kind of impressions when it comes to reading the character of the person.
So what does comprise our first impression of somebody? Because, you know, it is something we do all the time, every day. I don't think I'm alone in this. We make snap judgments about people we see sitting opposite us on the train, in the street, new colleagues, new friends, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely. I mean, and this is partly one of the main points of the book, that in a sense, most of us explicitly deny physiognomy as something that should be practiced, and it shouldn't be, but it's something that occurs and happens all the time. And I mean, we have many studies that you can flush a face for less than 1/10 of a second, and that provides sufficient information for people to make all sorts of judgments, like whether the person is trustworthy, whether they're competent, aggressive, and so on and so on.
So why do we do that? Is there some, you know, hardwired evolutionary imperative for it?
Well, I don't think that there's hardwired evolutionary imperative for reading character from faces. But if there's any argument to be made, there's certainly we're biologically prepared to try to figure out the intentions of the other people here and now. This is something that is very important. I mean, if you think about evolution, and often there's some evolutionary hypothesis that perhaps this is hardwired, but let's imagine that human evolution is compressed within 24 hours. Mm-hmm. For most of the time, we have lived in very small groups, essentially extended families from 5, 6 to 80, 100. And in these kinds of groups, you don't really need to rely on first impressions because you have substantive information about the people around you. And what changes modern states appear in the last 5 minutes of this 24-hour day. So it's a fairly recent phenomena. And then suddenly you live with thousands of strangers and you cannot possibly have knowledge. I mean, Jared Diamond had a nice line in one of his books that this was the first time in the human history when you have to encounter strangers without attempting to kill them.
but is it those judgments that we make, though, is it something more complicated and deeper than just the fact that we are predisposed to think well of people we find physically attractive? We will give more time of day and cut more slack to somebody we think is good-looking.
Right. Definitely, there's much more to attractiveness. There's enormous work on attractiveness, and what you describe, people will say maybe you have this attractiveness halo, and that colors all of your judgments. But in fact, you can... For example, we built different statistical models that can visualize all sorts of impressions. So I can have a model of trustworthiness, I can have a model of attractiveness, and all of this is actually richly illustrated in the book. I can subtract the attractiveness, so I can create a face that is unattractive but trustworthy, and I can have a face that is attractive but trustworthy. And if it's some kind of an investment situation or something that requires your trust, people are more likely to trust the so-called unattractive but trustworthy face rather than the...
Are those judgments universal, that model of what we might think of as a mocked-up trustworthy or untrustworthy face? Is that going to be broadly reacted to the same everywhere you go? Are there any adjustments that you make for race, for example?
Well, not quite. Actually, yes and no. Because when you build these kinds of models, what is important, you can actually discover the different cues that people are using. So one of the cues is emotional expressions, which probably... So faces that resemble kind of smiling or faces that resemble positive expressions, they're perceived as trustworthy. That could obviously vary within the same person if you have different images or depending on what kind of day you're having. And faces that look like they have a negative expression are perceived as untrustworthy. You would expect that these signals will be similar across cultures. Another major input is masculinity, femininity. So we tend to trust feminine faces, and it goes with the gender stereotypes. But then there are other inputs to trustworthiness, which are very culturally specific.
Mm-hmm.
Cultural typicality is very important, what you perceive as a typical face. So you can think of this major distinction that we do between in-group, our own group, and out-groups. And so faces that resemble typical faces, we tend to like and trust, and atypical faces we tend to dislike and distrust.
So this country is, as you've doubtless noticed, currently in the grip of a general election. Do these sort of reflexes and these judgments affect the way people vote?
Yes, in fact, the very first studies that we did and which got me interested in studying first impressions was trying to predict political elections in the United States. This was initially was predicting the election outcomes of the U.S. Senate. And the very, very surprising outcome is that relying on snapshot judgments of people who didn't recognize the politicians, they didn't even know that they were judging politicians. If you aggregate with a relatively small sample size of 40 naive participants, we could predict about 70% of the outcome of the Senate races.
So does this lead to a point at which that knowledge could be deployed by somebody seeking political office? Are there expressions and ticks you can adopt that will make that kind of good first impression?
I'm sure that it is. I mean, I've heard from a political scientist friend that some consultants in Mexico were using this, but as a general rule, I don't do consulting and I don't work with political campaigns, but absolutely. I mean, one thing I have to, there's a caveat here. You know, the way it works on real voters is this are typically voters who are completely unknowledgeable. They know very little about politics and exposed to TV. So these are the people, from a psychological point of view, the way we think about making decisions is that many decisions, even complex decisions, we rely on shortcuts. We rely on heuristics.
Of course, yeah. We haven't got time to think everything all
exactly,
the way through.
Exactly. So if you're not a highly invested voter, but nevertheless you decided to vote, the easiest shortcut is your first impression. Because it's easy. I mean, you don't have to think. You don't have to ponder. You've seen the politician. You've already made up your mind.
Is there anything at all revealing of a person's character from the way they look, from that first impression? And I'm asking mostly because one of my favourite quotations from George Orwell, and which I do believe to be true more often than it isn't, is that at the age of 50, all men have the face they deserve.
Well, I love George Orwell, but of course, these kinds of quotations could be interpreted in multiple ways. And I have a chapter in the book called Life Leaves Traces on Our Faces. And it turns out that if you look at, twins, so if you look at people, so the elderly people, the biggest predictor of mortality is obviously your biological age. But the next one is how old you look relative to your biological age. So people who look younger are more likely to live longer. And so, but what is happening here? Well, let's look at the ingredients. Number one, besides genetic luck, if you have a high socioeconomic status, which comes with better access to healthcare, if you're not chronically exposed to sun, like being a fisherman or a farmer, if you don't smoke, these are the things that contribute to your appearance. So certainly by the age of 50, your face, in a sense, will reflect your lifestyle. Is this a character? Well, to some extent, but to a larger extent, it's also life circumstances.
Well, just finally then, obviously, if the book's central thesis is that we over-rely on first impressions and that probably we should try to rise above them. Is there any way, however, that you can, I guess, come back from having made a poor first impression, whether it was by, you know, accident or mishap or whatever?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we change our minds all the time. The question is whether you will have the opportunity to receive reliable information. Because often the first impression would be almost like the gatekeepers, right? You decide whether the person deserves a second chance or not, and this is it. Maybe you have a prospective employee who could be incredibly creative, but the first impression is bad. They never got to the second stage of the interview process. So it very much depends. But if you have opportunities to interact with the person, and to get reliable information, surely. But we rarely go around life trying to test our hunches rigorously. I mean, so.
Afraid not. Alex Todorov, author of Face Value, The Irresistible Influence of First Impressions, thank you very much for joining us.